Tonight's shiur and tomorrow night's shiur are sponsored by Ben and Yael England, the Zechus for Shlema for Zachariah Kamlin, Ben Yael Margalit. We're in the home stretch now. What I want to try to accomplish tonight, and we will, Baz Hashem, is get through the other kinyanim related issues, and then tomorrow night we're going to discuss the tevila itself. We'll see. Maybe if we could start. Anyone have an objection to starting shiur a little early tomorrow night so that we can actually have time to get through? Okay, maybe we'll start a little earlier tomorrow night. We'll see. Okay, very good. Fantastic. Glad we can accommodate at the right time. Okay, so let's discuss the other Kenyan issues. Now, the Gemara we saw several times, the Gemara discusses that if you buy a kli from a guy, then obviously that's what requires tefillah. The Gemara discusses what says that if you borrow a kli from a guy, it does not require tefillah. The Gemara says, what if you take a kli as a mashkon from a guy? So we saw the Gemara, we read it inside already, that the Gemara leaves it as a safek if you take a mashkon from a guy. But the Gemara seems not to be mesupak, that if the guy is daitel l'shkue, if he intends to leave it by you forever, then it would certainly require tefillah. So the poskim treat it like a safek. They say that if he intends to leave it by you forever, then it's definitely going to require tefillah. Otherwise, you treat it like a safek. In the first shiur we had on tefillas kelim, we discussed whether tefillas kelim is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabana. Nafkamina number one is, what do you do in a case of mashkon? Because the case of mashkon is a classic case of safek tevilas kelim. So if you hold it's din d'oraisa yimachmir, you hold it's din d'rabanan, you're going to be mekel. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 17 over here, mashkon avichavim klili Yisrael im nira bedas avichavim shoratzel l'shakel biyado talon tevila. If he wants to let you keep it, he wants to leave it in your possession forever, then you do need tevila. But vimlav yat bilanu below bracha. Otherwise, if it's just a regular mashkon, tevila without a bracha, because that's what we do in cases of safek. We don't make a bracha, because safek brachas lahakel, but we do tevila. We assume that tevila itself is din d'oraisa, safek d'oraisa l'chumra, and therefore we do tevila on a kli that's a mashkon. Oh, yikna kli achar v'yat bilenu imo. If you really want to make a bracha just to be safe, you can buy another kli that definitely needs tevila, make a bracha on that kli, because you can make one bracha on many different kelim. Right, it's an interesting thing. We're going to discuss tomorrow night the nusach of the bracha, or we may not get to it, but the nusach of the bracha is al tevilas kli or al tevilas kelim, depending on how many you tovel, which is very unique. I don't think you have that by any other brachas, where the nusach changes depending on how many objects, on shchita. Since it doesn't get that specific as al shchitas behema, it's just al shchita, so you wouldn't say al shchitas behema or behemos. It doesn't change based on how many you are doing. But tefilas kelim is unique in that regard. So it's interesting. What if you have a safek? What if you have one kli that's a safek, and you're just buying another kli that you're going to have a vadai so that you can make a bracha? But then which bracha do you make? Do you make the bracha of al tefilas kli or al tefilas kelim? I mean, either way, it's not ma'akev. The bracha is going to work either way. But what should you do l'chadchila? So that's an interesting discussion also. But okay, maybe not for now. But anyway, so in the case of the mashkon, it seems very clear in Shulchan Aruch what to do. Now the Ramah over here adds that now if you got it as a mashkon and you weren't sure that the guy wanted you to keep it forever, so you did the tefillah without a bracha, what if after some time he says, you know what, just keep the mashkon, I'm not going to pay you back, just keep the mashkon forever. He decides, l'besof neshtaka biyado. So now you're going to need a new tefillah, even if you did tefillah already, because that tefillah was only misafek. It could be at the time you did that tefillah, you were not yet chayiv in tefillah, it's still called the guy's kli. Now you go ahead and you're going to keep it forever. So now you're going to be chayiv in tevila. Now it's going to be a brand new chayiv. So you're going to go weiter and do tevila without a bracha. That's how the Ramah says. Now the Tosos and Maseches Avodah Zarah points out that this does not go in the other direction. Also, this doesn't go the other way. The suffix of a mashkon is if the guy gives you a mashkon, is that considered yours or not? What if you give your kli to a guy as a mashkon and then get it back after some time? So Tosfos Avodah Zarah in Heman Beis of a mashkin kli lo v'chavim v'chazru pada ein sarach tvila. There's not a suffix that maybe if I gave it to him as a mashkon, it's now called his, and therefore when I take it back, it's as if I'm buying a kli from a guy. No, you're not going to need a tefillah, even though it's a suffix in the Gemara if mashkanta kazvini, linyan ha, vade pshita dlavi kazvini. In regards to this way, when it comes to a Jew giving it to a guy, then it's vade considered not like a sale, and therefore it's going to be, it's not going to require tefillahs kalim. Now, what's pshat? Why should it make a difference? If a mashkon manushach, if a mashkon is considered a sale, so then it should work in both directions. It should, when the guy gives it to you, you should require tefillas kelim. When you give it to the guy and then get it back, you should also require tefillas kelim because it's a sale. And if it doesn't have a din of sale, so in neither case you should require tefillas kelim. Why would you say that when the guy gives it to you, you have to treat it like a sale and therefore do tefillas kelim? When you give it as a mashkon to a guy, you don't have to treat it as a sale, and therefore, even when you get it back later, it doesn't need tefillas kelim because you never sold it to the guy in the first place. What's the chilek, Svara? Yeah?
You know we're taking it back or not.
That's what I thought it is. I thought also that it has to be that when it comes, it's everything over here, the way the Gemara says it, is totally in the das of the person who's giving the mashkon. If the person is daito l'shkua, he plans on leaving it by you, he wants it to stay by you, so that's going to be a vadai chiyuv tvila. The thing is, when a guy gives you a regular mashkon, you can't read his mind. You're not really sure what's going on. So therefore, every case is going to be treated like a suffix. But when you give your mashkon to a guy, so you know basically that you want it back, and since you basically know that you want it back, so maybe it's not going to be considered the stronger kind of mashkon. That maybe is the svara to be mechalik. But Tosos very clearly makes this chilik. Now, what if the guy gave you a mashkon, but normally the way a mashkon works, in order for a mashkon to be effective, to encourage him to want to pay back. Why does he give you a mashkon? Because he owes you money. So the guy owes you $1,000. So he gives you a mashkon to hang on to until you get your $1,000. How much is the mashkon normally going to be worth?
Less.
So, well, if it's worth less, it's not going to really encourage him to pay you, right? If it's worth $500, then he'll just say, okay, keep the mashkon. I just made $500. And he'll walk away happy. In order for the mashkon to really be effective, it should be something that has a value of at least as much and sometimes more than the actual loan. Look, he gave you his car. So in order to get his car back, his car is worth whatever, $20,000. So in order to get his car back, he knows he needs to pay you back. That's going to be strong encouragement to want to pay you back the cash, to want to pay you back the money. So what happens in the following case? You lent a guy $1,000. He gave you a $1,500 mashkon. So now, you do tevila b'li bracha, right, on the mashkon. And then, after a while, you say, you know what, I love this mashkon, I think it's fantastic, I want to give him another $500 and keep it. So at the time that you give him another $500, tevila or no tevila, and if yes, bracha or no bracha, what are you taina? So is this any different than just stomach case, where I took a mashkon from a guy, and then after some time he said, you know what, let's just call it, you know, we'll cancel each other out, you keep the mashkon, and I'm not going to pay you back. Is this different? Because you're paying him something more now?
You're being cornered that extra money. I mean, the extra part of the kli is being cornered out by you. The first part is already, it could be, you know,
So says the Shach, B'shem Yisr V'heter, Im Hosef Mo'os Lov Chav V'kana HaMashkon Menu L'achar She'et V'ilu M'safek Tzarev T'vilu T'pam Acheres V'yivarech, and you make a bracha this time. Because your original tevila was only a suffix, whether it's considered that it's yours for right now, but it wasn't al das that you can actually pay up for the entire thing and become the real full-fledged legitimate owner of it. So that level of kinyan is something you've only achieved right now.
So I don't get that. Meaning, what's the difference between the guy saying, here, keep it, and you saying, I want it?
Because
it was a suffix before, now it's become 100% yours.
So, because if the guy says keep it, then the assumption is that it had the same value as the loan itself. And if it had the same value as the loan itself, it was taken b'toras mashkon originally. And that is a suffix whether that itself is considered ownership. Over here, klape paying for it and making it really yours, a mashkon is not ownership, meaning it's some level of ownership, but it pales in comparison to the level of ownership of when you pay for something afterwards to make a complete kinyan. Meaning what it seems from this shach, from the Sisra V'Heter, is that it's not a shaila of yes ownership or no ownership, it's like a sliding scale of ownership. that there are levels of ownership. And when you have the highest level of ownership, that's going to require a tevila. And sometimes lower levels of ownership will also require tefillah, but if you then have the higher level, that given that higher level, that itself is going to require tefillah.
Isn't the highest level of tutsah, meaning it's what it is, meaning either by him being saying you could keep it or by you paying for it, still at the end of the day, you're having that highest level of ownership.
Ah, I hear what you're saying. At the end of the day, you're the full owner. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm not sure then. I'm not sure what the svara is. You're right. That's a good point. I don't know. You need to think about that. I'm not sure. But okay, so says the Shach from the Yisur V'Heter. Pischei Tshuva says, well, wait a second. Mashkon was a din misafik, right? What if you got a glass kli as a mashkon? So then, glass we know is drabanan. So then it would be safik drabanan. Lekula would not require tevila. Pischei Tshuva seems very posh, right? That seems like a very posh thing. But of course, glass is only drabanan. Mashkon is a safik, so you would not require tevila on a mashkon that's glass. But the Darki Tshuva quotes those who disagree with that. Darki Tshuva quotes those who say, no, that would be making a Safik Drabbanan Lekula on purpose. That would be like getting yourself into a Safik Drabbanan Lekula. To take such a mashkon, where you're then gonna get out of doing tevila, he thinks that that's not appropriate. It's hard to understand what that means. What do you mean? You didn't create the Safik. The Safik is on all glass kalim, the Safik is on all cases of mashkon. That's not putting yourself in a situation of Safik Drabbanan Lekula. That's a situation that happens. Why should that be called putting yourself in a situation of Safik? What would be a putting yourself in a situation of Safik Drabbanan Lekula? Let's say you have the opportunity to take Lulav and Esrog now, but you figure out, I'll wait till Ben Hashmashas. So then you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go ahead and put yourself in the situation of Safik Drabbanan Lekula. It's hard to say that this case is putting yourself, this is a normal business transaction. The guy happened to give you glass, so that it is what it is. That's called that L'chachil, you're putting yourself in a situation of Safik. That's a little bit difficult. But anyway, that's how the Darkei Tshuva wants to tie it. Now, let's get L'maisa, Tachlis over here. A Jewish-owned factory. What if you have a factory that's owned by a Jew and he has non-Jews working in the factory and you buy kelim from that factory? Let's say you have a factory in Eretz Yisrael owned by Jews and he has Arab workers working there making the kelim. So do those kelim require tevila or do they not require tevila? Tosfos Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hem Beis, if you look in source number 21, Tosfos writes, Hanosim kli lu'uman ovid kochav l'masakein. If you give a kli to a non-Jewish artisan to make it and to fix it, even if you hold Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, now that's a very important concept in the Zikin, right? Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli means that if you give cloth to someone to make a suit for you, as he's making the suit, it's not your suit and you just happen to owe him money for his work. No, it's as he's making the suit and increasing the value of it by sewing every stitch, he is Kona the Kli. And then when you pay for it, you are buying the kli from him. That's the concept of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. So what about over here? You give some metal scraps to your worker. The worker turns it into a kli. So I would have said, okay, if Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, the non-Jewish worker who takes these metal scraps and actually makes the kli out of it, has now acquired through his work, he's been Kona the kli. That's what I would have thought. And it becomes his kli. That's definitely what I would have said. Says Tosfos, no. Even if you hold Uman Kona B'Shvach, and therefore, right, if I buy it, I'm going to require tefillah. Says, no, even if you hold Uman Kona B'Shvach, kli ain sorich tefillah. Still doesn't require tefillah. Why? De ain shmo alav. Because his name is not on it. Meaning, halachically, is it his? Yes. If you ask anybody on the street, is it his? They'll tell you no. They'll say, no, Berkowitz owns the factory where he has, Ahmed working. You know, they're not going to assume that the worker who happens to be working there owns the kli. They're going to say, no, the Jew owns it. Of course the Jew owns it. Even though halachically that may not be true. Who cares what people say? So Tosfos says, it has to be like Maisa Shahaya. Maisa Shahaya was an overt act of transference of rishus. It was overt that you got it from the guy to you. There was no secrets, nothing hidden about it. So any type of transaction is going to have to be something that has that clarity of transference of rishus. It's a tremendous chiddush. Because again, we're assuming that what people say matters now in terms of whether the transference of rishus is going to make a difference. as opposed to just saying, look, halacha, was there a kinyan here, was there not a kinyan here? So this Tosos is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Now, obviously, not everyone agrees with Tosos. The Torah quotes from the Ritzbah, in source number 22, the Torah quotes that v'ritzba kasav da'afilu nosin lo kli shavu l'sakno im lo haya maksik revius kodim l'chein v'tikno she maksik revius tzarech tvila d'kaim l'an akol holoich achar ma'amid. The Ritzba says if he's done something significant to the kli, even if it was a kli before but it was broken, and now he's ma'amid the kli in a way that it makes it functional again, so forget about the factory where he gave him his metal scraps. He gave him a kli, it just had a hole in it, and now he fixed it. So he's contributed enough that it's called his. That it's considered that he's the one that made that kli. And therefore you're going to need tevilas kelim, says the Ritzba, when you get it back from him. So that's the machlokas rishonim. So nowadays, if we were to have a factory that's owned by a Jew, where you have non-Jewish workers working in the factory, are there any tzadim lahakel? Now again, pashut pshat, we should say that it's we should say uman kona b'shvach kli, and you should require tefillah. We have this machlokas rishonim whether that's true. Tosa says, nah, it's not called uman kona b'shvach kli if it's a Jewish factory worker. Are there any, when you have machlokas rishonim, you're not sure what to do. So are there any other tzadim lahakel within this machlokas rishonim? So yesterday I had a photocopy of the Sefer Tevilas Kelim. Anyone not get it? Everyone here got it? Okay. So I have a photocopy of the Sefer Tevilas Kelim on page Samech Hei in footnote Beis Star. On like almost every page, there's not just an Aleph Beis footnotes, but he always has stars, because apparently, must have been in later editions, he added in tons and tons of material. It's mamish, an encyclopedia. It's tremendous. I never really appreciated this Sefer until this year. Just the amount of work that went into it, the bekius that he has in Tefillas Kelim is just phenomenal. Anyway, so he discusses this issue about a Jewish-owned company and Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli or not Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, and he quotes another couple of Tzadim L'Hakel. First he says, V'Aruch HaShulchan, I underline the word V'Aruch HaShulchan. V'Aruch HaShulchan Sif Nun Ches V'Kunchas Tefillas Kelim Shev Sefer Yad Yosef Sofer Chzion Tvosei V'Sifro Divrei Yosef Ta Kol Holech Achar Balabayis V'Apoalim Hinam Schire Yom. He says, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli is not nogeya at all to a factory setting. In a factory, the workers are definitely not being kona the kelim through their work. Why? Because when do we say Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli? If I go and I give material to a guy to make a suit for me, he's getting paid for making that suit for me. Right? He's not getting paid by the hour, he's getting paid for making that suit, he's getting paid for the job. So the job is to make the suit, so when he makes the suit, that becomes his suit, and I buy the suit from him. That's why you have such a svara of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. But if I pay somebody minimum wage to work, or any wage, doesn't matter, minimum wage, to work in a factory for X amount of hours, he's a factory worker, he's getting his wages, he's part of the union, he works from 9 to 5, and he gets X salary per year. So you're not going to say Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, because he's not responsible for the kli per se, he's responsible for working his hardest for all those hours. And some days he might have a good day where he'll produce a lot more kelim. Some days he might have a slower day where he'll produce less kelim. But it's not about the kelim. That's not what his job is. His job isn't the kelim. His job is the hours. So Schir Yom, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you definitely wouldn't say Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. So forgetting Tosfos, even if you hold normally Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, you wouldn't need tefillah here anyway. Because this kind of woman by a factory, he definitely doesn't own it. Right, so that's one svara lahakel. Another svara lahakel, he quotes from Rav Moshe, an unbelievable svara. Rav Moshe writes, he quotes, Ayin Yam Shalos Shuvos Igros Moshe, Archaim Chel Gimel Simen Dalid, the cost of the afle matzrichin tefillah benasan yisol kesef l'nachri lasos l'kli, even if you hold that when a Jew gives money to a guy to make a kli for him, that he needs tefillah, midin uman kona b'shvach kli, din ze lo shayich bebeis charoshes. We should have a list of how many times over the course of the summer we had a modern industrialization making a difference, right? And Bishalakum and Pasakum. So over here also, that since it's made in a factory, we're not going to say Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. Why? She'ikra Kli Nasal Yidei Mechonos Fa'umnim Heim Rak Misayein Basi Yasan. No one is making those kelim. Machines are making those kelim. The Uman's not making the scaling, he's just flipping the button, making sure everything goes kaseder, inputting whatever materials he needs to input through the machine, but the machine makes the kli. So we would never say Uman kona b'shvach kli when the machine makes the kli. He says anyway, plus there's skira yom. Now that's for Rav Moshe. You buy it, you don't buy it. What do you tie now? It's not the Uman making the kli, it's the machine making the kli, and therefore you wouldn't say Uman kona b'shvach kli.
Taylor also uses machines to make the cloth.
Right, so the shaila is, where does Rav Moshe draw the line? Every Uman ever used tools. Cavemen had tools. So is it the tools that made the kli? Mali, if the tool is a hammer and a chisel, or Mali, if the tool is a sophisticated piece of machinery?
Taylor can show you with the tool that he made, which thing he made. The person puts it into a factory, he has no idea what he made. It was completely made by the machine. Came to differentiate what he did with someone else, that the machine made most of the stuff, but Taylor really made the stuff.
So you say that the kinyan is a result of his own personal connection to the kli. So because he has no connection to the kli, and he couldn't even identify the kelim that he made.
He could have made it, just
but it, yeah, that's a chiddush also, to say that that's what I would think the kinyan is, just the fact that he took nothing and it's now a kli. And that's what affects the kinyan, not any personal relationship with it. Yeah?
The chiddush is that by the factory kli, the kli is not, I can use the kli, but by the real Uman, he's the only one who uses this kli to make the product.
Right. The question is, so is Rav Moshe making an assumption that factory workers, that I could walk into a factory and operate the machinery just as well as the guy
there?
Training
for a day, maybe.
Okay, but I'll need some sort of training.
That
an
that
Uman. So how much schooling do you need to go through before you have a din of an Uman? I don't know. I mean, I hear the svara. I definitely hear the svara that the kinyan is in the fact that he's doing work that you couldn't otherwise do, and that's how he's kona the kli. But if I don't know how to operate the machinery, so why isn't he doing work that I couldn't do? Also, that I couldn't do.
Everywhere on rhythm, like most factories, it's all like centralized, where it's just more people overseeing and actually people do it.
Right. So Moshe is assuming that way. Apparently, I'm just not sure. I haven't visited enough clay making factories. I don't know. There's a third svara to be makel. So far again, we had two extra svaras to be makel besides for Tosos. One of the Aruch HaShulchan about Schir Yom, and two is Rav Moshe, that it's the machine doing all the work. There's a third svara. Chaznish says, look, La Halacha Umen Kona B'Shvach Kli. He quotes Chaznish, but it's not on that page. I didn't photocopy the page that he quotes. It's also from Sefer Tfilas Kalim. He says, La Halacha, you're right. Umen Kona B'Shvach Kli, the guy who's working there is Kona La Halacha. If you were to ask him if the kli is his, what would he tell you, the non-Jewish worker? He would tell you definitely not. He would say, no, I just work here. I get paid and I work here, and it belongs to the boss. Everything here belongs to the boss. Why would he tell you that? Because the dinat malchusa is, right, the legally, it doesn't belong to the factory workers. The kelim actually belong to the boss. So chaznish has such a svara that non-Jewish workers aren't kone based on dinat malchusa, so it's illogical to assume, says chaznish, that the Torah would give them more of a kinyan than Dinei Akum would give them. That the Torah would give them more of a kinyan, Legavei Tefilas Kelim, than Dinei Akum would give them. So if Dinei Akum only don't give them the kinyan, so the Torah is not going to give them extra kinyanim. That's an interesting svara. Mehechi Tesi, that's necessarily the case. You have to really study the sugya of Dinei Malchus Adina. Dinei Malchus Adina typically would deal with dine mamonis issues between a Jew and non-Jew. You would have to follow the dine de malchusa, right? But over here, when we talk about dine de malchusa and following the dine de malchusa in issues between a Jew and a non-Jew, we're talking about who's going to have to pay who and things of that nature in terms of payment. But in terms of a halacha, a ritual law, such as tevilas kelim, does the dine de malchusa determine that? Meaning, It's a chakir in Dina de Malchusa. Is Dina de Malchusa a real kinyan, or is it a Darkei Shalom issue? Not Dafka Darkei Shalom, I'm saying using that as a melitza, like such a type of issue that's like just keep the peace kind of issue. If Dina de Malchusa is a real kinyan that overrides real halachic kinyanim, and that's the reality now, so the Chazanish is 100% correct. That between a Jew and a non-Jew, you're governed by Dina de Malchusa. You're not governed by what the halacha would have to say. But if Dina Malchusa doesn't tell you what really is, it just tells you that, look, in dealing with payments and who's going to owe who what and how much gets paid at certain times, you have to follow Dina Malchusa because that's what the guy is accustomed to, is following Dina Malchusa. But that's not really what it is. It's just that the Dina Malchusa demands that. It's a din d'rabbanan, a din d'malchusa dina, in order to keep things. So, but it doesn't tell you who the real, you know, honest to goodness owner of it is. That the real din would tell you. Maybe you can say such a chakir. You need to really look at Dina the Malchus. It's interesting. Dina the Malchus Adina generally is assumed to be a Din Daraisa. It doesn't appear anywhere before Shmuel. It's a major problem. How could you have a Din Daraisa that doesn't appear in Tosefta, in Tanayim, in Mishnayis anywhere? It doesn't. And even Shmuel doesn't really give a pasuk. Right? It's just a Dina the Malchus Adina. Whenever the Gemara needs to say Dina the Malchus Adina, it says, yeah, like Shmuel said, Dina the Malchus Adina. What do you mean, like Shmuel said? What? So that's also a big discussion in the Achronim to try to figure out, going backwards, what Din D'Oraisa is, Din D'Malchus Adina. And obviously there are major nafkaminas. We once had a share of Din D'Malchus Adina. Okay. But, alright, so that's the Chaznish. What would you say in the opposite case? Let's say a non-Jew owns a factory and you have Jewish workers in the factory, in the non-Jew's factory. So now, would you say that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, the Jewish worker is Kona it, and therefore when you buy it, is considered that it was bought from a Jew and therefore does not require tevila. So Pashtus says you don't even get off the ground with that, because when you buy it, you're not buying it from the Jew. Even if Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, yeah, the Jew made it, but then what happened? Then a guy went and bought it from the Jew. Who's the guy that bought it from the Jew? The owner of the factory, when he paid his worker. He paid his worker, and now he bought it from the Jew. And when you buy it, you're buying it from the guy, the stama, right? So that would be buying it from a guy anyhow. And when you buy it from a guy, even though it was made by a Jew, it doesn't make a difference. If you're buying it from a guy, it requires tefilas kelim. How do I know that? Because if you yourself own something and you sell it to a guy and you buy it back, you need tefilas kelim, right? So if it was owned by a Jew or made by a Jew, then sold to a guy and then bought back, it needs tefilas kelim again. It's coming back of tumas akum. So if you say it in the reverse, it's not really such an issue. It would seem to be much more obvious in that case that it would require tefilas kelim, because you're definitely getting it from the guy. What about if you buy something on credit, meaning you haven't paid for something yet? You go into a store and they trust you and they say, you know, they keep a bill and they'll charge you a month later. They'll send you a bill for it. Or the credit card. Done. You buy with a credit card. You didn't pay anything yet. So I don't know how it works in terms of credit cards. I should have asked somebody before. But when you go in and you swipe your credit card in the store, when does the store actually get paid? When did they get the money? When did the money get transferred over to the store? Oh, Jake, you know? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm not sure if it happens immediately, or does it have to wait till you pay your credit card bill? I don't think so. I think the credit card company gives it right away. And then when you pay the credit card bill, you'll get, you know, you just pay back the credit card company.
Then what happens when you can't pay for that? So what happens when you can't pay for that item?
Right, so if you end up,
it goes back to
so the credit card company gives massive interest rates and goes after you, and, you know, that's...
I think then the store would have to pay back the credit card company.
No, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. I don't think so. I think the credit card company is the one that's out the money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's instantaneously. There's like a thing... There's something called like a float where there's like a transfer time period, but like
no, you really want to know.
I don't think it's so significant that like apparently like by the time that like you know like by the time that you go to the mikvah with your kelim, I think like you know
it's done already.
It's not like instantaneously, but you know probably like 5-10 minutes. You know, not like
okay. So by the time you go to the mikvah, it's done already. Okay, so let's stop. Let's forget about credit card purchasing. Let's say it's done. You buy something on credit. Not with a credit card. You just the store owner keeps a cheshbon and you buy something on credit. So there are stores with the mikvah in the store, right? So sometimes you could get there. Usually they're not owned by non-Jews. But I guess if you buy from a non-Jewish company, right? Meaning that it's produced by a non-Jewish company. Yeah, I guess you could have... right. So what if you buy something on credit? So the Sefer Tefilas Kelim in source number 23... some of them I photocopied just because I got too lazy to type it all up, and some of them I typed. But in source number 23, this one I typed, he relates the following issue. Meaning, what would be the issue? What do you mean? You bought it. Why wouldn't it require tefilas kelim? So he discusses the following problem. What was your kinyan? If you didn't do a kinyan d'oraisa, all you did was a kinyan d'rabbanan, so maybe you're not yet chayiv in tefilas kelim, mid'oraisa. And maybe you need to actually have paid for it in order to have a kinyan, a real kinyan daraisa, in order to be chayv in tefilas kelim daraisa. Take a look inside. He says, "Im kana kli ba'akafa migoyim mechanvini yehudi ledasa sovrim deklei mikri klei schara." Assuming that when you buy from a Jewish store, that's called klei schara for him, klei suda for you, and therefore needs tefila. Shadayin in chayim a tefila. Shema in sarach tefila. Darei a kinyan meshicha below kesef laviel midrabanan. Meshicha is only kona midrabanan. It's not kona midaraisa. You can tovel them. I understand glass kelim. Of course, you can tovel because they're drabanan. So kinyan drabanan should be enough to be mechayev you in a tvila drabanan. Achle matzchos shetvilasa me'atora lechara tali din zav machlokasim kinyan drabanan mahani l'doraisa. This is one thing he's very good at in the sefer tvilas kelim, is taking topics in tvilas kelim and making them shas topics. So he says this is a shas topic. Does a kinyan drabanan help for something daraisa, for an inyan daraisa? If you hold the kinyan drabanan, it's not going to be mahani, it's not going to work for a din daraisa. You're going to need another tvila after you are kohen daraisa. So if you brought it home first, then you're okay, because your chatzer is kohen. The issue is only if you didn't bring it home first. Like the case Heisha said, you go into the back of the store and you tovel it right there in the store. So he says, look in the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos. Dalet Minin. Here's our segue as we end the summer and we get closer to learning Masechta Sukkah. Our segue to Dalet Minin. He says, take a look in the Mishnah Brura Sim Tafresh and Chesiv Kot Yud. A tremendous chum, Mishnah Berurah says you have to be careful about. Sometimes people order their dalet minim through the shul or through some organization. And the shul lays out all the money. In my shul, we do this. We lay out all the money for the people, and they're supposed to pick up the dalet minim and pay for it when they come and pick it up. What if they didn't pay for it before Sukkot? So I know the guy's good for it. I say, okay, you can take the dalet minim. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Is that okay? He has a mitzvah daraisa of dalet minim. The kinyan mashiach is only kinyan midrabanan. Maybe he has to pay for it. So Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, you got to pay for it. So why should that be any different by Tzilas Kalim? So he makes that same ha'ara, but he says, you should know, yesh poskim shadal minim shakana ba'akafa yotze yidei chava. There are poskim that disagree with the Mishnah Berurah that say that if you buy dal minim on credit, that you are yotze yachiyot. And he quotes a series of poskim that hold that way. Good, so it could be that you are Yosef Chiyuv. Then he quotes, look in the second paragraph, Ne'ayim dar kitshuva kufchav sifkat and pay test, kasvayim knesa gadola, unbelievable, blagos, atoro si tesh, kasvayim isa vahetar, ta'afilum lo nasan liyara akum ma'os, dar kitshuva quotes from the knesa gadola, that even if you don't give the money to the guy, kigon sheminu ha'akum, the guy trusts you, don't worry, you'll pay me later, afilu hachi tzorch tvila ubibracha. You need tefila and with a bracha. Black on white. He quotes from the Knesset Gadola, right? Very authoritative source that Darkei Tshuva quotes. Even if you didn't give the money, it requires a bracha. Says the Sefer Tefillas Kelim, Darkei Tshuva is a typo. He says Darkei Tshuva misread the Knesset Gadola. Unbelievable. On the list of typos that changed the halacha, this has to make it. He says, what does it say? He says, I looked up the Knesset Gadola, and I'll tell you what he really says. He says, "B'mechilas kvod Torahso, ta'ah hadarkei tshuva v'loshma Knesset Gadola." The Knesset Gadola had to klashon Yisr v'heter. The Knesset Gadola is just quoting directly from the Yisr v'heter. As we said, the Yisr v'heter is the sefer your day is based on. So the Yisr v'heter is very authoritative. Klal milchesim tzad yalf. And this is what the Yisr v'heter says: "Avolim machulo v'chazav elakcha emenu." If you sold it to the guy and then bought it back from him, afilu hu atzmo. Even you yourself bought it back. It was yours before. It's yours again. Sarech la'adbilo, you need to tovel it, ubebracha, and with a bracha, va'afilu imlo higia liyad haknani mem ayin vav shmijik. Even if it never got to the knani, ma'om. So what's the end of the word? So the Knesset Gadol said, mem ayin vav shmijik. Ma'os, money. Even if you never paid for it, you could still do tvila. Says the Tfilas Kalim, that's wrong. That's not what he means. The word is me'olam. Even if you never, even if the guy never took possession of it, what's the halacha the Yisra Vetter is talking about? He's not focusing on Darkei HaKinyanim over here. The Yisra Vetter is not focusing on whether you paid, didn't pay. That's not his issue. His issue is, you had a kli, you sold it to a guy, you bought it back from a guy. And his chiddush is, even though it was yours before, you need to do tefillas kelim again, because you sold it from a guy, you bought it back from a guy. That's the chiddush of the Yisra Vetter. Says the Yisra Vetter, you know what the real chiddush is? Even if the guy never actually physically took possession of it, lo higi liad kanani may olam. He never physically took possession. I have the kli in my house. I sold it to him. He could come pick it up whenever he wants. He never came and picked it up. And he said, you know what? I don't really need it. I'll sell it back to you. And I buy it back. Like what? Like if you're selling your kelim from mechiras chametz. Afilu lo higi liad may olam. Still, I'm going to need a new tefillas kelim. If I sold my kelim for mechiras chametz. Now, that's why we don't sell the kelim. We sell the blios and the kelim. In the Sefer Tefillas Kelim, he quotes those who hold that even if you do sell the kelim, it won't require tefillah for other reasons, but it's certainly not so pashut. But anyway, it's just a typo. It's not ma'os, it's me'olam. Nothing to do with our issue of whether paying money is good enough. Okay, so that's the buying on credit issue. The most halach l'maisa issue we're going to discuss today is Jew, non-Jew partnerships. What's the halacha if the kelim were owned by Jews and non-Jews together in a partnership? So if you look in source number 25, the Ramah, in Yerodeh, Simu Kuv Chav Sif Yer Aleph, Yisrael Vavid Kham Shekhanu Kli B'Shutfus Ein Tzarech Tvila. Doesn't require tvila if it's owned B'Shutfus between Yisrael and a guy. Good, open and shut case, very obvious, very clear in the Ramah. Question is why? Why does it not require tefillah if it's owned b'shutfus? So the Shach in Sivkat Mechav Dalit over there says, Ein Tzarech Tvila Mitam Shekhazah Shem Yisrael Vahetzer, so if didn't pay ches. You have to go back to our first shir. What's the purpose of Tevilas Kelim? The purpose of Tevilas Kelim is to remove the shame tuma from the kli. If the kli is still half owned by a guy, your tevila doesn't help. It doesn't remove the shame tuma from the kli. And if it's not going to remove the shame tumah from the kli, it's useless, and therefore it's not chayiv in tefila. It's not going to help to do the tefila. So mela, it's not chayiv in tefila. Aruch HaShulchan says another svara also. Everything goes back to klei midyan. Everything is dumi to klei midyan. The Aruch HaShulchan is firmly grounded in rishonim. Right, we just saw Tosos wanted to say a chiddush that when somebody's not dumi to klei midyan, exactly, it's not going to require tefilas kelim. This is not only a small variance from the way Klei Midyan worked, this is a huge variation from the way Klei Midyan worked. Klei Midyan was Jew getting from Guy. Over here it's Jew and Guy owning together at Meikara. Well, that's very different than Klei Midyan. So since it's not Domel Klei Midyan, we're not required Tfilas Kelim. So those are the two standard explanations that are given as to why a Shutfus doesn't work. Sefer Tfilas Kelim has a fascinating discussion. Yeah?
What's wrong with Tumah?
Meaning,
if the Jew's going to use the kli, meaning even if it's partially used and there's tumah on it, then is he not allowed to use it? Meaning,
no. The tumah we're talking about over here, when we started to discuss, we said the tumah that we're talking about over here is not tumah in the normal tumatara sense. It means ownership of a guy means that it's the kli is a non-Jewish kli, and it has characteristics of non-Jewishness. And the fact that I share it with him doesn't remove and put it in a mikveh. It's still half owned by him, so it still has major characteristics of non-Jewishness.
I mean, is there any problem with that?
With using it?
You mean that's just like owning, using, meaning anything like that?
Ah, so good. That leads us right into the Sefer Tefillas Kelim. Says the Beis Meir, wait a second, if you can't do tefillah on it, and therefore you can't remove it from its tumah, it should be usher to use. That shouldn't make a mutter to use without tefillah. Because now it's bad. Now it's contaminated. What's the raya that he's wrong? Good. When you borrow a kli from a guy, it's contaminated. It's got fully shame tuma. And when you borrow it, we learn you're allowed to use it. That's okay. You go to a restaurant owned by a guy or a hotel or whatever, and they serve you a glass of soda. You're allowed to drink from the glass. So that's a little bit difficult. But the Beis Meir has two kashas, not just that one. Says the Beis Meir, in the Sefer Tefillas Kelim, in this little paragraph over here in source number 28, he quotes several answers. Take a look. Right, so that was one kasha that maybe it should be more machmir because it's tamei. And this is the better kasha. dimitam breira yischayv yisrael lahatvil b'chol pam shemeshtamish b'kli. Breira. When you are a partner in the kli, so when are you the owner of that kli? Whichever days you take it, it's huvra adav l'mafreya, that those are the days that you are the owner and not the guy. So each day that I take it to use, I'm the owner, not the guy. The guy will be the owner the days that he uses it. Mishum d'luchumri yesh breira. Ah, you'll tell me ain breira and daraisa. No, no, that's l'kula. We won't rely on breira. But l'chumra, we definitely would say breira. V'ruvra adav l'mafreya, d'l'sha zuhi shalo. L'chein yir l'ni is daiti. Therefore, says the Beis Meir lahalacha, it's sarach tvila. Against the Ramah. He's willing to be cholik on the Ramah based on those kashas. Wow. So he says, take a look in many other sources. Darkei Tshuva quotes Svarim that disagree with the Beis Meir for the following reason. In terms of the first kasha, he says, Sha'ul. No different than a borrowed kli. It's Tumah doesn't matter to us. You're allowed to use it even though it's Tameh. What about the second kasha? So a few lines further, he quotes the Sefer Erech Shai. Given the Bekal Sha'a, Sofa Lachsa Lagai, Omid Becheskas of any Yotze Midei Tumah B'Tfilah Zu. Meaning, how do we define the Tumah? This is like where it comes full circle. When we started these shiurim and we defined, what does the Tumah mean? So we define the Tumah as anything that's omed to be used for non-Jewish use again, for non-kosher use, non-Jewish use, whatever it might be. Anything that's omed lazeh, that you know is, it's on that path. The current path that it's on will have it being used under non-Jewish ownership. That means that you haven't taken it out of the Shem Tumah. So it doesn't matter that I'm the owner right now. That's not the issue. Even if I were the owner right now, if it's on a path where it's not going to be taken out of non-Jewish use, right, this is what we discuss when it comes to non-frum Jews who plan on using it for trade for food. So it could be that it's not chayiv in Tvilas Kelim when they bought it, because it's still on a path to be used for non-kosher food, to be used bitumah. Bekivin to Tvilas Klei Midyan Chiddushu, the whole idea of Tvilas Klei Midyan is a Chiddush, so it's got to be K'maisa Shaya. And the Maisa Shaya is not where it's going to go back to a guy. Always go back to the Maisa Shaya answer. Then he quotes the Sefer Ma'adani Yaretz, who answers the Beis Meir a little differently. And he says as follows. In terms of his first kasha, Kivin she Yisra Shimush B'li Tvila Urak Midrabanon, Hain Urak Machmas Chiv Mitzvah Tvila Shemuta Lav. Well, in terms of the Yisra to use the Kli without Tvila, that's only an Yisra Drabanon to begin with. It's not like the Chiv Daraisa to Tova the Kli, the Yisra to use it without Tvila is only this Yisra Drabanon. L'chein Hol Kli Zeh Lomahani Tvila Shaper Mutu L'shtamish Gam below Tvila. So on the first kasha he says, a svar that should sound familiar to us, basically he says, Beis Meir, you know what? To use a petuma, you're right, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right. But, since you can't tovel it, it's impossible to tovel it, because your tefillah won't work, we're not going to make you not use the kli because of that. Because the isra ishtamshus on the kli is only in the sidrabanan. Madana yaretz. Who said the same exact svara? That was Rav Shechter's svara when it came to electric kelim. Since you can't tovel it, now big difference though. Madani Arts told me, what do you mean you can't tovel it? Halachically, it can't be toveled. Not physically can't be toveled. Right? So he says, since halachically it can't be toveled, there's nothing you could do halachically to make it better. So mainly you're not going to be mechuyuv to do anything, because we're not going to make you stop using the kli, the rabbanon weren't misakin b'chei agavna. But if it's something that it's just going to break, so is that as far as to say stronger or weaker? You could argue it both ways. But you see that, you know, there is some precedent for Rav Shechter's psak when it comes to the electric kelim. Val kushyasu ashniya, in regards to his second kasha, says Madani Arz. Who's Madani Arz? Isn't that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach? Didn't he write a sefer called Madani Arz? You know? I think he wrote a sefer on Shemitah a long time ago. He would say it's Rav Shlomo Zalman. It must be someone else. I forgot what it's called. I thought it was called Madani Arz. Rav Shlomo Zalman had a sefer. One of his first svarim was on Shemitah. His first sefer ever was on electricity. But one of his first svarim was on Shemitah. And he published it had a tshuva from Rav Kook. Haskama, from Rav Kook in the beginning of the Sefer. Rav Kook was, you know, the Gadol in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So he had Haskama from Rav Kook. Rav Kook was, you know, Rav Eliashiv's Masada Kiddusha, and he was, you know, that's where you went when you were an Adam Chashev and you wanted someone, you know, to give Haskama. But, and he left in his Tzava'a that they can't republish the Sefer without the Haskama. He won't allow them to republish the sefer without the hasgama. So that's why when they republished it, what they did was they changed the whole sefer. They took his writings from other places, they changed the order around, and that way they were able to republish without the hasgama. So they came up with that problem. Okay, anyway, but I don't know if this is the same one anyway. Valkushyasu Ashniya Kasav, he says in terms of the second kasha about Breira, says Shiny Tvila. The Gemara Novel Desire and He says, Debinu Kamaisa Shaya Bemindyan, and gives the same Maisa Shaya answer. And then he quotes Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sri Deish. Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg is the author of Sri Deish. That answers the base mayor as follows. Dechiv Tvila Rak Shal Yedeya Tvila Humotzias Aklimi Tumas Akuma. Malkum Shain Tawels Bitvilazu. Sounds very similar to the first answer. A lot of these answers sound very similar to each other. Okay. The last answer is the one that's unique. That's one I was thinking of. The Tel Talpios quotes from Rav Gershon Stern Rav B'Marshal Dash something. So he says as follows, that yes, when you own the kli, it's huvar adavar mafreya, when you split a kli with a guy, so it's huvar adavar that it's yours on the day that you use it. That's for kinyan peros, not for kinyan aguf. The ability to use it is the kinyan peros of the kli. The kinyan aguf is the ownership that stays with you and the guy every single day. It's only a kinyan peros that's huvar adavar, and that's not going to determine the status in terms of tefilas kelim. Fine. Now, Melamed Lahavol was asked, okay, great, we have Melamed Lahavol is Rav David Zvi Hoffman, famous German posek. So he was asked the following. We have this great heter, that if a Jew and non-Jew are partners, they get out of the problem of Tefilas Kelim. You don't have to do Tefilas Kelim. So someone asked Melamed Lahavol, restaurant, that's the solution. Bring in a non-Jewish partner to own the restaurant with you, whatever, 10%, whatever it is, and then you'll save the whole tzara of Tefilas Kelim. Are you allowed to do that? So says Rav David Zvi Hoffman, absolutely not. He says, L'chadchila, absolutely not. If that's your kavana, to do such a haram is wrong. And he says, I'll bring you a raya that it's wrong. When the Shulchan Aruch wants to come up with an eitza of what to do when it's Erev Shabbos and you haven't told your kli yet, what does it say to do? Be makin it to the guy entirely and borrow it from him. Why not just give him a chelek in it? And then it would work forever. I mean, what the Shaul was saying was that this should work forever. If you become partners, it should work for, you know, it's not just a one day stopgap measure. So why does Shulchan Aruch give you something that's only going to work for a day by being makin at him and borrowing from him? Give me something that will work forever. Bring him on as a partner and that will work forever. You'll be able to use it forever. So it says, Elamai, you see that it doesn't work. And he says, it's better to be somich. He quotes from the Chubas HaRashbash, that it's better to be somech on the matirin to be tovel on Shabbos than to do such a harama. Better to be somech on those who are mekel to do the tefillah on Shabbos. Now, why doesn't? But okay, that just says okay, it's good. Shulchan Aruch didn't come up with this eitzah, didn't say this eitzah could work. Why not? Sounds good. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch say this eitzah when it comes out of Shabbos? So he says, Hadlo hiter b'Shulchan Aruch mishum debishlam matana pater legamri mitvila sheino shlo klal. He says, let's go back to the mechanics of it. Why is it when a guy owns it and you borrow it from him, why doesn't it need tevila? Because it's not yours at all. It's absolutely pater from tevila. When you and a guy are shutvim in it, what do we say? What's the whole lamdas? It does require tevila, but you can't. Your hands are tied. You can't do it. So it really needs tevila, but you can't do it. And since you can't do it, we let you get away with it. That's not something you should do with chadchila. To put yourself in a situation where the kli really be'etzem should require tefila, but you're gonna have a kuntz that, you know, I can't do it because even if I do it, it's still betumas the guy, so I can't do it. You don't do that lechadchila. To be makin it to him entirely, that's not a kuntz. That's absolutely 100% his and doesn't require tefila at all. That's what the Melamed Lahavol wants to say. That we can't be matir someone to be mevatel the mitzvah, to be goring, that there should be a shame nachri on it, and therefore be mevatel the mitzvah in that way.
According to that, then you probably shouldn't buy electronic kelim at all.
Good. Right. According to that, Melamed Lahavol, if you're going to connect the Madana Yom Tov Svara, which Melamed Lahavol is using over there, to Rav Shechter, right? So then you should say, like some will tell you, that if you can't tovel the machine, then don't buy it.
For one thing, like good things you can't tovel, and you're just going out of your way not to be tovel them. Where like chip thing, meaning it's not like you could get a grilled cheese maker.
Okay. I hear that chiluk also. Also very good chiluk. Very good chiluk. Okay, we gotta cover some last minute ground over here. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Tshuvas Har Tzvi was asked the following shaila. There apparently this tshuva, it's a very fascinating historical tshuva. Apparently, it was written shortly after 1948 or during 1948, and he describes how the people who were inhabiting Eretz Yisrael as we were conquering were just terrified and ran away, and how we just came in and took their stuff because they ran away and they left everything behind. So he discusses, now the Israeli government owns all of this stuff, right? So does it require tefilas kelim or not? Now apparently the way the government dealt with it was that the government never took official possession of it. They planned on keeping it forever, but they still called it the Arab kelim for whatever reason. And it was marked off as such. But it was going to be used by Jews forever, and it was never going to be given back. So some poskim said, "Yeah, but in name it still is the Der Kalim. Therefore, it doesn't require tefillah. It's only shaul. So you're only borrowing it." CBS and Frank said, "Come on, that's ridiculous. I mean, if we're taking it, they're never getting it back. And you know, kibush mulchama. I mean, can you have more domel lemaisa shalaya than kibush mulchama? Then you go in, you fight a war, and they run away, and you take it." He said, "Come, that's it. That's." But in the course of the tshuva, he raises a very important kasha. It's a kasha of the Ramban, and it's a kasha that many of the Achronim ask as well, which is as follows. There were other wars that we fought before the war with Midian. Why does the Torah wait till Midian to teach us Tfilas Kelim? Why not tell us the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim already by Sichon Va'og, by those Milchamos? What was different about this war that all of a sudden the Torah decided, okay, here's where you need to learn Tefillas Kelim. So he says that maybe you could, so he quotes from some Gon Mishakanov, who says as follows, that the mitzvah of Tefillas Kli has a Tanai, that the Kli has to come to Rishus Yisrael directly from Rishus Nachri. It can't go through anyone else. If the Nachri dies, and after the Nachri dies, the Jew comes in, and takes it from Hefker, from just nothingness, then it will not require Tevila. Because then the Jew is Konit me Hefker. So Chiddush la'alacha. But he says, so by Milchamas Midyan, where the Taf and the Nashim were alive, they only killed the men. This was interesting, Sichon Vog versus Midyan. They only killed the men. So when the men died, who did it belong to? The Yarshim, the Taf and the Nashim. When the Jews took it, who did they take it from? A guy. The Taf and the Nashim. By Sichon Va'og, they killed everybody. So where did the Kalim go? Nowhere. Hefker. So the Jews acquired it from Hefker. Mele is not going to require Tefillas Kalim. That's what he wants to say. Then the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, I don't really buy it. I don't think the Vart is correct. We know that it's not correct. The Ramah Paskins, the Yisrael, buys it from another Yisrael who himself bought it from a guy. But the first Yisrael didn't buy it for Klei Suda. What does the second Yisrael do? Tefillas Kelim. He didn't get it directly from a guy. He still has to do Tefillas Kelim. So he says, the halacha is not correct. So he suggests a different approach. That he says, a second approach, but we don't have time for it. I'll cut to the chase over here. In the third approach, he says as follows, that you can't ask kashas like this. Why did the Torah decide to give me a mitzvah here and not there? The Torah wasn't, the mitzvos of the Torah were not given all at one time. You know, we had many different times in history where we were given, we had mitzvos in Stavu B'mara, mitzvos in Stavu Bal Moed, Ba'arvos Moav. So you can't ask, why was one mitzvah given earlier, not later, later, not earlier? That's ridiculous. Either Ramban asks it. So he said, no, the Ramban wasn't asking about Tefillas Kelim. The Ramban was asking about Hagolas Kelim. What difference does it make? If you can't ask the Kasha, you can't ask the Kasha. Big difference. Tevilas Kelim is a mitzvah. Hagolas Kelim is just a way to get rid of non-kosher food, non-kosher taste. So, as long as there already is an isra to eat non-kosher, we need to know how to get rid of the non-kosher. So the Ramban asks, why does the Torah wait to tell me about Hagolas Kelim to Midyan, till Midyan? Let it teach it to me already by Sichon Va'og. By Tevilas Kelim, you can't ask such a kasha. That's how he deals with this kasha. One last shutfas issue I want to touch upon. and again, it's a little bit rushed, I apologize, corporations. And this isn't only a Tefillas Kelim issue, this is a issue about a lot of halachas. You have a publicly traded company. Lots and lots of people own stock in it. Some Jews, some non-Jews. So let's say the publicly traded company, let's say Williams Sonoma, produces their own Kelim. I don't know if they, I assume they make their own, I don't know. Let's assume they make their own Kelim. I have no idea. I have to ask Mr. Abramowitz. Let's assume they make their own Kelim. So if they make their own Kelim, it's a publicly traded company, I assume. It's owned by Jews and non-Jews. So what's the halacha now? Are you going to say, oh, shutfus. Zon b'shutfus didn't require tefillas Kelim. Right, when it was b'shutfus. Now, when you buy it from the shutfus, does it then require tefillas Kelim? So it might. Meaning, if it's originally owned by Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't. When you buy it from Shulchan Aruch, I'm not sure. Does Shulchan Aruch say? I'm not sure what it said in Shulchan Aruch about that. But anyway, so what would be the halacha? I think we assume that it does not require to scale when you buy from the Shulchan Aruch. So what would be the halacha by a publicly owned company? So there are several mahalchim. And it has ramifications for Hilchos Ribbis, it has ramifications for Hilchos Chametz, whether you're allowed to own stock in a Chametz Dika company over Pesach, or it's a problem, or whether you can eat the food from a chametz tikka company that has stock that's owned by Jews, chametz shavur lav Pesach, right? It has ramifications for everything. So Rav Moshe held that whoever has a controlling interest, whoever really gets to make the decisions, that's how we define the company. So if I own stock in the company, but I don't really get to make it, even though officially they send out things where you can go to the stockholders' meetings and raise a ruckus because I own one share or whatever, and be a troublemaker. But you don't really get to make the decisions. The guy who's in charge, who makes the decisions, if there's a guy or a group of guys, and that's why there's a list that's put out after Pesach every year of like who the CEO, CFO, right, the whole board of major companies, major grocery chains and things like that, after Pesach to figure out what's controlling interest. Rav Shlomo Zalman, though, held that a corporation is a separate entity, distinct of its of the shareholders. It's owned by the corporation. It's not owned by anybody. It's not owned by any individual. It's owned by the corporation. Now, if you say like that, what does that mean for Tevila? So I'm told that Rav Shechter holds, I never spoke to him directly about it, that if you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman, then it's not coming from Tumas Akum. Because it isn't owned by a guy. It wasn't owned by a guy before. It was owned by some non-existent. It was owned by the air. It was owned by some entity. It's ki'ilu, a kli grew from the ground. And you just, well, then it would be kli cheres. But I'm saying like a metal kli fell from the sky and that's it. So you don't need to feel in such a thing. You didn't get it from a guy. It's not dumya. So if that's the case, that would be a huge, huge kula lahalacha. Can you imagine? You have to go back to your kelim, see the company that made that kli, and see if it was owned, if it's a corporation, it's a publicly traded company, wouldn't require tefillah. Except it would. Why? Because you didn't buy it from him. You bought it from the guy who bought it from the entity. And since you bought it from the guy who bought it from the entity, it does require tefillah's kelim. It's only if you buy it straight from the company, online or whatever, that it would be no gelim, I see. Okay.